Take your Bibles, if you would, open up to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. 2 Kings, one of my favorite books, especially the first part of it, because you find God working in such mighty ways in the stories that are recorded in the first 10 chapters or so of 2 Kings. And one of my favorite ones is in 2 Kings chapter 4. I've preached from this story two or three times before, but my Bible readings came to this chapter this morning, and I thought I'd just share some thoughts with you about the lady who's in this story. Let's read it together first. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Kings. I said 1 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more," and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go and sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Here we see God working a miracle in a lady's life, a lady that had a problem. And I just remind you tonight that God hadn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. "I am the Lord, I change not," says in the book of Malachi. And we can pray for and expect the same God to work in our life to help us with our problems. Here's a widow. Her husband has died. He'd left her with some debts. And the person that they owed money to was coming now to collect on the debts. And since she didn't have money to pay, he was, as the custom was back then, he was going to take her two sons and make them slaves until they paid the debt off. And so she came to Elisha, the man of God. And by the way, it's not part of my notes tonight, but I'll just tell you that a good place to come with a problem is the man of God. Preachers don't know everything. They have problems on their own. But preachers that stay in the Bible and study the Bible and meditate in the Bible are a good place to go for counsel and advice. Because I mentioned it Sunday night in Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And whether it's a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, find a godly person to get advice from. Don't go to the world seeking advice and seeking counsel, because God will bless the counsel of a godly man and use that counsel to help you. And so she came to Elijah, and I want you to notice what she said. She said, "That my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." Hey, you know, my husband fear God, recognized God as God, and acknowledged Him as God, and tried to walk in His instructions and in His teachings, and a lot of people think that her husband was a man named Obadiah, who we read about earlier in Kings, who when Ahab was killing the sons of the prophets, took 100 of them, 50 in each group, and hid them in two different caves and fed them for a period of time. And a lot of Bible scholars think that this was his wife. And so she was coming to Elisha and say, hey, you know my servant, or my husband was a servant of God and he feared God. You know what he did. And again, by the way, it's not in my notes. I'll just throw it in for nothing tonight, so to speak. It's okay to give God a reason to answer your prayers. She says, hey, I got a problem. I need some help. And oh, by the way, God, and she didn't say this, but here's what she was implying. If you would have took care of your prophets, I wouldn't be in this mess that I'm in. I mean, we had to take them and hide them in a cave and feed them for a period of time. If you had taken care of them, I wouldn't owe these people money, and I wouldn't be here asking for help. And it's okay to reason with God. Remember when we studied the Psalms years ago? We had a psalm that taught us it's okay to tell God why he should answer your prayers. God, I've tried to serve you. I've tried to do what's right. I've tried to follow the Bible. And I have this need in my life. And it's to remind God that you're on his side and that you fear him, that you're one of his children, that he's your father and he's responsible for taking care of you. It's okay to pray like that. I mean, when we come in faith and ask him to help us, he's pleased with that. He's pleased when we come and tell him that he can help us. He's pleased when we come and ask in faith for him to work in our lives and to give him a reason why he should. And so this lady comes to Elisha, and she says, you know, you know my husband, you know what he did. Now I got this problem, and I need your help. And I want you to notice something else before I'll get to my points I want to make tonight in a minute. But I want you to notice something else. I want you to notice, and this is the way God always works. When we ask in faith, he always, if he's going to answer our prayer, if that's his will, he always not only gives us what we've asked for, but he goes above and beyond what we've asked for. He always gives us more as a blessing. I mean, she was a poor widow in debt, and when she did what God said and God blessed her, she was able to live debt-free. She was about to lose her sons, and when she did what God said and God blessed her, she was able to keep her sons, and not only keep her sons, but have enough resources. Elisha said, pay the debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. I think she made enough money from selling that oil that she could take care of her kids and provide herself a living for the rest of her life. And that's the way God works. I mean, all she wanted was to save her sons. And God said, well, hey, well, okay, I'll take care of that for you, and I'll do more than that. I'll put enough in your bank account so that not only can you pay what the debt that you owe, but you'll have enough for you to live on and your two sons to live on for the rest of your life. And what a good God that we have that, you know, the Bible says, and I was talking to somebody about it at work on Monday. I was talking to Brother Chuck about it today and somebody at work on Monday. I hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for his children. Now, that's true in heaven, but it's also true down here. And we have unclaimed blessings that we don't get because we don't go to God and ask for them. You have not because you ask not. So I want to encourage you tonight by saying four things. You know, sometimes when we have problems, we live with them. And sometimes God wants us to live with our problems. But sometimes he doesn't. And we don't go to him and ask for help, and we end up living in a state that's not pleasing to God because he's got something better planned for us. This lady could have said, well, hey, you know, I don't have anything to pay my debt with. I guess I'll just lose my two sons. And I guess I'll just live in poverty for the rest of my life. I was thinking about Paul this afternoon when he had what he called a thorn in the flesh. Now, you know the story of the thorn in the flesh. Paul said, I got this condition. He went to God. He reasoned with God. I could be a better preacher. I could be a better church builder. I could do everything you want me to do better if you take this thorn in the flesh away from me. And he gave God a reason to take it away. And God said, no, I want you to keep it. So, and I'm going to contrast these two tonight. Here were two people that have problems. They both went to God with their problems. One, God took the problem away, and the other one, God said, no, just live with it, because my grace is made is shown in your weakness. And my first point tonight is that when we have problems, instead of just living with it, we ought to go to God and ask for his help. Instead of just sitting back and saying, well, God's not going to help me. Well, how do you know if you don't ask him? God, you know, he has no reason to help me. I'm not worthy of his help. And you're right, based on your actions, and I'm in that category with you, we have no right to ask God except that we know he's our Father and that he loves us. Huh? He loves us. And he wants us to come and ask. He doesn't want us to live with all our problems. Some of them he does, like he did Paul. But not all of them. He expects us to come in faith and say, God, I have this situation in my life. I'd like you to help me with it. I'd like you to do something to fix it. A lot of times I've talked to people and they said, well, I told God exactly how I wanted him to fix it. And you've heard me say, be careful what you pray for, because that may be exactly what you get. If you go telling God how to fix your problems, he may do exactly what you ask him to do. And yet he may have said, hey, I not only wanted to fix your problems, but I wanted to give you enough so you can live the rest of your life on, like he did this lady. I mean, she could have prayed, Lord, you need to save my two sons. I don't want them to go and be slaves. And God could have said, okay, if that's what you want, I'll give you exactly that. I'll give you exactly enough money to pay the debt. And so we limit God, just like the Israelites did, by how we pray. Here was a lady that knew she had a problem, that wasn't satisfied to live with the problem. She just didn't sit back and say, well, I guess I'm going to lose my sons, and I guess, you know, I'll live in poverty the rest of my life as a debtor. No, she says, I think God can help me. I'll go to the man of God, and I'll tell him my problem, and I'll ask him what I should do. So Elijah says, okay, he first of all says, let me see if I can find it. He says in verse 2, and Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? What do you want me to do? You think I got a ton of money that I can just give you? He was a poor preacher. He says, what have you got in the house? What do you got? What do you got that God can use to solve this problem? And she said, well, I don't have anything but a little pot of oil. Just a little pot of oil. Not very much at all. And so Elisha said, at God's bidding, all right, we're going to exercise your faith. I want you to go out, you and your sons, to all your friends, to all your neighbors, to all your relatives, and I want you to borrow empty vessels. Get empty pots, empty vases, empty bowls, empty cups, anything that will hold something, you borrow. Sometimes I can just picture myself there. I can just see this lady saying, why? I told you I don't have anything in the house but just a little oil. Why? What do you want me to do? Well, Elijah said, well, I want you to borrow all this stuff. I want you to go to your house, and I want you to take that little pot of oil and pour it in a vessel. Why? I mean, the vessel that it's in holds it. I mean, you want me to pour it from one pot to another? What good is that going to do except get the pots wet? I mean, she could have said, and just think about this now, because this is sometimes the way we react. Well, okay, I'll do what you say. And she could have gone next door to the neighbor and said, could I borrow a pot? Just one. That's all I need, just one. That doesn't need to be very big because I don't have very much oil. I don't understand why I'm doing this in the first place, but just give me a pot so I can do what the man of God says. I mean, her blessing, now realize this, I'll skip ahead a little bit, her blessing was limited by her faith, because the Bible says, when she asked her son after she filled up the last pot, she said, give me another pot. And he said, Mom, there ain't any more. The Bible says the oil stayed. In other words, it quit flowing. I think God would have filled up every pot in that town if that lady had borrowed them. I mean, if she would have gone to every house in that town and got every pot, God would have filled up every single one. And sometimes we limit God by the amount of faith that we have. We say, well, I got this problem, but I don't think that God can solve this one. And so we sit back and we don't ask. We don't exercise our faith. And he says, well, okay, if he, you know, I can see him up in heaven with his arms crossed like this sometimes. Okay. I mean, if that's how you want to live, if you're satisfied living like that, I mean, go ahead. He's not going to force his blessings on us. Just like he doesn't force salvation on anybody. He makes it available. And we get salvation when we ask for it with faith. And the same way with his blessings. He's got a lot of blessings that he'll give us. Jesus said, hey, I've just not come to give you life. I've come to give you abundant life. And I think God wants to bless us. And sometimes he can't because we won't let him. We don't borrow any pots. Or we don't even ask in the first place. We say, well, I guess I can learn to live with this. Well, why? Now, again, he told Paul, hey, Paul, you're going to have to learn to live with it. I'm not going to take it away because I want you to trust me. I want you to lean on me. And that happens sometimes. But it doesn't happen all the time. There are story after story. You say, well, that's the Old Testament stories. Yeah, but God hasn't changed. The God of the Old Testament is still God today. He hasn't changed how he works. He still responds to our faith. And so this lady could say, well, okay, I'll go borrow a pot. I don't think she did. I think she trusted God. I think she got her boys, and I don't know how old they were. She said, hey, get your wagon, get a basket, get a rope. We're going to tie them together, and we're going to drag as many pots as we can home. And I can see him, you know, and again, I can just picture in her mind, hey, Mabel, I need to borrow your pots. What for? You having company? No, I just need your pots. Well, what for? Well, I just need them. Just give me your pots, all that you can spare. And her neighbors probably thought, man, this lady is cracked up. I mean, there's something wrong with her. She's out in the neighborhood, door to door, with her little kids behind her, gathering up all of these vessels. Then she goes into the house, shuts the door. Like I said, go in, shut yourself in. And again, Holy Spirit in the Bible is represented by oil. She gets shut up in the house, and she says, okay, to one of her sons, give me the first pot. And I don't know what she had. I sort of pictured in my mind she maybe had a little cup. Size holder with maybe half full of oil, and her son says, "Okay, Mom, I'm going to give you the biggest one first. Here's a 2-gallon pot." And I can see she's got this big pot in her arm, and she's got this little cup of oil in her hands, and she says, "Well, I don't understand it, but this is what God told me to do." And she begins to pour that oil in that 2-gallon pot. And I can only imagine what through her head. She says, man, she called her two boys, look at this. I mean, all there is a half a cup of oil, and look at, it's filling this 2-gallon pot. And I don't know what kind of assembly line she had. She said, hey, take this one, give me another one. And so she got another one, and it kept coming and coming. And hey, take this one and give me another one. It kept coming and coming and coming. And finally she said, well, give me another one. And one of her sons says, Ma, there ain't no more. And all around the room, I can just picture it in my mind, all around the room are these pots full of oil that came from this little half a cup or whatever she had, and the oil stayed. When again, God filled up every one, and I can just see her looking around the room and her two boys looking around the room and saying, "Wow." You think there was a doubt in her two sons' minds that there was a God? You think that there was a doubt that God couldn't work? You know, we owe it to our children to exercise our faith and put God to the test and let them see how he can work so that they will know that there's a God in heaven. That's God. That's God. So she went back to Elijah and she said, hey, I did exactly what you said. I got all these pots of oil sitting in my house. I mean, they're filling up the whole living room and the bedroom there. I mean, there are pots all over. What should I do now? He said, well, go and sell it. Go and sell it. You're going to make enough to pay your debt. They won't. They won't take your sons. And he says, take the rest of it and live, you and your sons. And again, I think she got enough. She didn't have to worry about her 401k or IRA. She had enough money, cash money in the bank or wherever they kept it back then, to pay every one of her bills and provide for herself and her two sons. Now again, that's the way God works. He will respond and bless us in proportion to our faith. If we don't think God can do it, and if we don't go, not literally, but figuratively, if we don't go borrow the pots, if we don't, he can't work. We've limited him, just like the Israelites. He told the Israelites as they were going through the wilderness, you've limited me 10 times. 10 times I wanted to do something for you, and I couldn't. And isn't it a shame that we as God's children miss out on some blessings because we don't get the pots? Or maybe we only get one, or maybe we only get two. And God said, I would have filled up every single one you borrowed. I would have filled them all up, every single one. I'll fill up what you give me. You know, sometimes we're so full of ourselves that the Holy Spirit can't fill us. We need, just like we sang that song, and I didn't know Adam was going to sing it, but it goes right along with the last thing I want to tell you tonight. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. You know, in order to be filled, we have to be emptied. We have to be emptied. As the Holy Spirit fills us, we need to go out and do what God tells us to do, just like this lady did. Hey, go borrow empty vessels, go in your house, shut the door, get filled up, and then go and sell it. Then go and sell it. We get filled up with the Holy Spirit, then we go out and do what God calls us to do. We get empty, and we come back and get filled up again. And then we go empty ourselves, and we come back, and he fills us up again. Then we go empty ourselves. You know, if you look around on Sunday morning after church, or if you look around on Sunday night after church, and I won't mention any names, but you can see people that have emptied themselves out that day after Sunday. I mean, they've given, they're tired, maybe a little grumpy, and that's why I'm not mentioning any names, tired, maybe a little grumpy, but they've emptied themselves out. And then they go home, and they get filled up, and they come back and do it again. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. That's exactly how God wants us to be. Empty yourself up, I'll fill you up. Empty yourself out, I'll fill you up. Some, and I feel sorry for Christians like this. Some Christians haven't emptied themselves out at all. And again, in our context tonight, they're still full of oil that they got years ago. And God says, hey, I got some fresh oil. David wrote in the Psalms, I want to be anointed with fresh oil. And God will anoint us with fresh oil if we use up the oil he gave us yesterday and the day before. He says, hey, you go ahead and empty yourself out. I'll fill you up. I'll fill you up. I got enough. My cupboard's not going to run dry. I got enough. Just go empty yourself out. Come back. I'll fill you up. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.